Well, thanks so much for joining us today for a good word for today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel Radio, and we're going to be looking today at the summary of our subject for a long time now. We've been asking the question, is Jesus Christ really who He said He was? He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be one with God. He claimed to be the only Savior of mankind. Is He who He claimed to be? If He is, then He is the only person in whom we can be saved. We can be saved in no other way other than through Jesus Christ the Lord. We're looking today at some proof of that from the Old Testament and the New Testament. So turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, and we'll begin in just one moment. Let's go to God in prayer, first of all, today. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your great, great mercy and your grace. Thank you, Father, that you loved mankind so much. You loved all of us so much that you were not willing for us to stay in our sin, in our death, in our separation from you. But you, in Christ Jesus, made a way for us to be reconciled to you, for us to again become your sons and daughters, part of your family, and come to your home in heaven for all eternity. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your divine and just precious, great, wonderful means of salvation that you have provided for us. Father, we give all glory and honor to you. We exalt the name of Jesus, whose name is above every name. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for being our teacher, our guide, our comforter, the one who convicts us when we need convicting, the one who prays for us in ways that we can't understand how to pray. Thank you for the word that you gave to us, Holy Spirit. Now today, as we open your word, we ask that you be our teacher. May the words I say today not be my own, but may they be yours, Holy Spirit, spoken in me and spoken through me, for all of us to hear and all of us to understand, and for all of us to grow by these words. To you be all glory, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, again, turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 as we begin our message today. And our message concerns the Christ, Jesus the Christ. And examining the question, is He the Son of God? Is He the only begotten Son of God? Is He the only Christ? Is He the only Savior of the world? Is there any other Savior other than Jesus? We're asking and answering all of those questions today. Now, back in Genesis chapter 3, just after the fall of mankind, Adam and Eve, and as they're being put out of the garden because they have sinned against God and cannot any longer stay in God's presence and have fellowship with God because sin has separated them from God. God is speaking to Adam, He's speaking to Eve, and He's speaking to the serpent. And in chapter 3, He is speaking to the serpent, to the devil. And in verse 14 it says, "And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this," what has He done? He has tempted Adam and Eve and tempted Eve, and she succumbed to that temptation to disobey God and to take of the forbidden fruit and to eat it. And, of course, this gave to her the knowledge of good and evil. And consequently, she was disobedient to God. Adam was given the fruit by Eve, and he ate of it too. So both Adam and Eve sinned against God. And so the God is speaking to the serpent, to the devil in reality. He says, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity
you will be an enemy of woman, and woman will be an enemy of yours. I will put enmity between you and the woman. Now notice he says the woman, not the man. He speaks of Eve, not Adam here. And between your seed and her seed. Now, that speaks of offspring of the devil, if you will, and it speaks of offspring of the woman. Now, elsewhere in the Bible, you'll see the offspring of mankind or the offspring of the man, the seed of man. This is the only place that it speaks of the seed of woman. Normally, the seed is from man. Here, he speaks of the seed of woman. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Now, that is better translated, you shall crush his head. You shall crush his head. He'll bruise your heel, but you'll crush his head. That is your descendant. That is Christ that he's talking about. Jesus, who will be born as a descendant of Eve, as a seed of the woman. Now, this is important. This is critical, you see. This speaks of the virgin birth of Jesus. No father is involved. No earthly father is involved. No seed of man is referred to here. This is the seed of woman. And who's the father then? That asks the question, begs the question, who's the father? The seed of woman, but who is the father? Does not speak of any seed of man here, and that's important because there is no seed of man in this descendant that is being referred to here by God. So God himself is foretelling in this instance to the devil himself that the seed of woman will come and he will crush your head. You'll bruise his heel. In other words, you'll give him a temporary but not fatal wound. Jesus was resurrected by the power of the devil, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the devil is going to finally be thrown into the lake of fire, that eternal death, which burns forever and ever. And his destination is eternal death. And the destination of Jesus Christ and all of those born by believing in him is heaven itself and eternal life. So, he has said, from the seed of woman, there shall come forth a Savior, in essence. And this Savior will crush the head of the devil. In other words, he will give him a fatal blow, a defining defeat, if you will. So this is the first reference here in the Old Testament. God himself speaking to the devil and speaking of the seed of woman, which is to come. Now, in Isaiah chapter 7, we don't have time to touch these many places in the Old Testament, 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Now, of course, the name Emmanuel simply means God with us. Over in Isaiah chapter 9, the people who walk in great darkness will see a great light, Jesus, the light of the world. Those who live in a dark light, or dark land, rather, the light will shine on them. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Now, verse 7 speaks of something yet to be. That is the rule of Jesus Christ on the throne of David, and his kingdom will be established and will never cease. We are yet to see that be fulfilled. But we have seen chapter 6, or verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And then if we turn on over to Isaiah chapter 11, a shoot will spring forth from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Now, Jesse is the father of David, okay? It's so from the root of David, from the family of Jesse, from the family of David, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength will rest on him. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Speaking of Jesus Christ and describing him as the spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. In Colossians, we find that all wisdom, all knowledge are in Christ. The spirit of counsel and strength, the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, these are on this Jesus. These are part of him. All wisdom, all knowledge resides in Jesus Christ. And we've heard him say, I am the truth, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. So life, truth, wisdom, knowledge are in Christ Jesus. We want wisdom, we find it in Christ. We want knowledge, true knowledge, true knowledge, we find it in Christ. There's a lot of false knowledge. There's a lot of knowledge of the world that doesn't do any good, eternity speaking, you see. What's the difference if you have knowledge that enables you to do something here in the world and it's not knowledge that will take you through eternity? You see, the knowledge of Jesus will take you through eternity. The wisdom that is in Jesus will take you through eternity. The wisdom of trusting in him and believing in him and resting upon him. All right, we go on to Micah chapter 5. And in Micah chapter 5, we have the promise of this one, the branch of Jesse, the descendant of Jesse, this virgin birth. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be the ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. In other words, from eternity past, he has existed. And this Savior of mankind, this Son of God, will be born in the city of David. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and hold your finger on that, Matthew chapter 1. And then I want you to also turn on to Luke chapter 1 and let's look at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the promise of his birth. Now, the angel Gabriel is sent from God and sent to the Virgin Mary. And this is important. She is a virgin now. In chapter 1, verse 28, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her and said, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God. What a wonderful passage. The angel Gabriel came to announce to Mary that she would conceive of the Holy Spirit, and she would bear a son, and his name would be called Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. Now, back in Matthew chapter 1, we have a revelation to Joseph. Joseph was to be the husband of Mary. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and following, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband," now notice that, "she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit, remember the angel said in Luke chapter 1 there, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee and shall overshadow thee." In other words, the Holy Spirit will conceive in you, Mary, a child. The Holy Spirit is the Father. So she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit, verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" So again, "that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is the Son of God, or the Father of God. God is the Father of God. In verse 21, "And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." Now, this all took place that was spoken of by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." "And Joseph arose from sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, twice in this dream of revelation to Joseph, we're told that she is found to be with child by the Holy Spirit in verse 18, and then again in verse 20, the angel says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived is of the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit causes Mary to be impregnated, causes Mary to conceive and bear a son, and his name is Jesus. Now back to Luke, of course, in chapter 2, we have the record of Caesar Augustus declaring the tax, and each one had to go to his home city, so they had to go to Bethlehem in order to register for the tax. And of course, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, Luke chapter 2, verse 7. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and in verse 8, "There were shepherds in the region keeping watch over their flocks by night." Verse 9, "And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Jesus, Jesus, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Now, here in Matthew chapter 1, the angel appears to Joseph in a dream. In Luke chapter 1, the angel comes in a vision and stands before Mary and tells her that she will bear a son, and the Holy Spirit shall come upon her, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow her. In other words, the Holy Spirit will cause Mary to conceive. And here in Luke chapter 2, we have the record of the birth of Jesus. And the angels come and tell shepherds, announce the birth of Jesus. "And this will be a sign to you," verse 12, "you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there were the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. The angels here then bring the news of the birth of Jesus to Joseph and to Mary. And the angels announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. They clearly declare who he is. He is the Son of God. He is Christ the Lord. He is Savior of mankind. And he is a descendant of David through the lineage of Mary. Even in Matthew chapter 1, when Matthew is giving the lineage of Jesus, he speaks of Joseph, but then he speaks of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it's very unusual in the lineage of the Jews to come to the woman. It is usually the lineage given through man. That's tradition. But here, as he's giving the lineage of down to Joseph, then he speaks of Joseph, who is the husband of Mary, or becomes the husband of Mary, and then Mary, the mother of Jesus. Doesn't speak of Joseph being the father of Jesus. It speaks of Mary being the mother of Jesus. So this is key. The Lord himself, God himself, speaks to the serpent back in Genesis chapter 3 that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, the descendant of Eve. Your seed, Eve's seed, will crush your head, devil, and you'll bruise his heel. You'll give him a blow, but it will be a bruising blow, not a fatal blow, but he will crush your head. He will give you a final, definitive defeat, Jesus Christ. And he did that at the cross of Calvary. So we have the angels here giving witness. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verses 26 through 32, we have the record of a man named Simeon in the Christ, or Simeon, who was in the temple. Let's just read it, verse 25 and following, chapter 2 of Luke. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Now notice, not in him, but upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to carry out for him the custom of the law that was on the eighth day for him to be circumcised, then he took him, Simeon took Jesus, into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel.'" Simeon was simply saying, "I've seen the Christ. I've seen the promised Messiah. I've seen the Savior." Now the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, so the Holy Spirit revealed this truth to Simeon, revealed to him that this little baby was the promised Messiah, the promised Christ. There was another lady in the temple by the name of Anna, which is spoken of later here in chapter 2, verses 36 and 30 through 38. "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84, and she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel," in other words, for the Christ. She continued to say, "This is the Christ, this is the Christ, this is the Christ." And again, Anna, the prophetess here in the temple, witnessing to all who would hear that this is the Christ, this is the promised Messiah. So here we have Simeon in the temple and Anna in the temple, two human witnesses. Simeon, anointed with the Holy Spirit, Anna, a prophetess, recognize by the power of the Spirit that this is the Christ, and give witness that this is the promised Messiah, this is the promised Christ. Then In verse 40, we find the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing wisdom and grace of God was upon him. And we have 12 years elapsing here that we have nothing said about Jesus until they take him at age 12 on the trip to Jerusalem to the temple for him to be go through the process of becoming a man, his bar mitzvah, so to speak, at the temple. And he stayed behind, if you recall. And they had left to go back to their home. And they thought he was with relatives of theirs. And they come to find out that he wasn't there. So they returned to Jerusalem to look for Jesus. They find him in the temple and conversing with the elders there in the temple. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, you, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, this is Jesus now responding to Mary and Joseph. And he said to them, "Why is it that you are looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" Here we find Jesus speaking of his father's house. This is the temple now that he's talking about. The temple is his father's house. Later in his ministry, when he cleanses the temple, he says, "My father's house is to be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. You have made it a den of thieves, but it is to be a house of prayer. It is my father's house." Now, we see Jesus later then as he begins his ministry. And in chapter 3 of Luke, we have the baptism of the Son of Man. And John the Baptist, of course, is the forerunner of Christ, and he is the next witness of Christ. He says in verse 16, "John answered and said to them all, 'As for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.'" Now, Jesus comes then to be baptized John the Baptist. And in verse 21, "Now it came about that when all the people were baptized, that Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" This is the witness again of God himself, that Jesus Christ, here at the beginning of his ministry, at the age of 30, Jesus is given the witness by God himself that this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Now we're running out of time today in our message, but here we have from Genesis through the Gospels, the witness by God himself, by the prophets in the Old Testament, by the angels in Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1, by God himself here, by the prophet Simeon in the temple, the prophetess Anna in the temple, and then by God himself here at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus at age 30. The Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove and stays there, the power of the Spirit. And God himself says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, from this time forward, Jesus begins his ministry. If we had time, we'd go through the Gospel of John and show you how many times Jesus spoke of being the Son of God, spoke of his Father, God, spoke of the Father and I being one. Speaks in John 14 of the Father and I will come to you. And we will make our permanent dwelling place in you. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Hebrews says he is the exact representation of God. So my friend, Jesus came into this earth to reveal God to man, to be the exact representation of God, to provide a sacrifice for mankind, the perfect sacrifice, to destroy the works of the devil, to defeat the devil once and all, to be our merciful high priest, to be highly exalted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus. Jesus. As Peter said, there's no other name among men whereby you must be saved other than the name Jesus. Do you know him today? I pray that you do. Jesus, his virgin birth, his life, his going to the cross, his death upon the cross, his giving of himself, his life, his blood for mankind. This, my friend, is the story of the gospel. The good news of Jesus, yes, he is the only begotten, virgin-born Son of God. He is the only one in whom salvation can be found. And this, my friend, is a good word for today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel 101.5.